You're listening to Hearth Casual, the Hearthstone podcast for tavern brawlers, dungeon runners, and everyone else enjoying the game off the ranked ladder.
Well met, heal druids and murloc shamans?
Shamans?
And welcome to episode 29 of Hearth Casual. I am Brian Black, and with me, as always, is the resident dad legend of the show, Mr. Kevin Ellis. How are you, Kevin?
Would it be shaman, like S-H-A-M-E-N? Because, like,
I don't know.
The plural of man is men. So it makes sense. It makes more sense than shamans. You know,
it does. I'm like 99% sure you don't add an S at the end of shaman when you're talking about more than one. I think it's just still shaman, like A-N, because English is weird. but we are not alone, Kevin. We have a third voice to talk about Rise of Shadows, and with us all the way from Twitch. She is a streamer for many a game, including Heroes of the Storm and Hearthstone. She's done a couple podcast appearances in the past, and she is a friend of the show, and I'm very happy to have her on. She's known on Twitch as Wicked Kitten, but over here, we're just going to call her Monica. Hi, Monica.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's awesome to have you on. I mean, I've known you for quite some time, and of course, you and Kevin know each other through back in the day with Lords of the Storm, so it's great to get a small section of the band back together.
Back in the day? I mean, it's not been that long, has it?
Yeah, it's been like a couple of months.
I mean the longest. Heroes of the Storm, that was ages ago. That's a classic game.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there.
My heart.
Oh, my heart, too.
I'm sorry. We will move on from that.
That was the correct move. It was aggro, but it was the correct move.
It really was. We have a lot to talk about today, and I would say most of our show is going to be talking about what we usually talk about at the top of the show, which is just what the heck have we been playing? So we will get to that in just a moment. But before we get to anything else, Monica, I just want to ask a couple questions. I mean, this is stuff that I might know, but our listeners might be curious. How long have you been playing Hearthstone? And what do you like about the game? What excites you about it?
Well, I've been playing it since about 2015. I actually went to Nerdtacular that year, the convention Scott Johnson has, and I saw a live panel of the Angry Chicken podcast. And
oh, nice.
I started downloading it on my phone, the app, because it had just come out recently. And I just started playing it there. It's my first card game, so there is a large, what do you call it? I guess skill?
Learning curve?
Learning curve. Sure, there you go. Sure. Mm-hmm. That's a better word. So it took a lot for me to start playing it, but you know, I would just play it every day, and it got easier. And I found all these. I gotta say, it's the murlocs. I'm just gonna go with murlocs.
Oh, there you go.
There's my answer.
There is nothing wrong with loving murlocs, especially. I feel like murlocs are one of the honorary mascots of any show that's dealing with casual play.
Oh yeah, for sure. But honestly, like that Murloc Shaman deck right now is not that bad. I've had a couple games where like I look at my health total on turn four and I say, okay, what's happening here? You know? So yeah.
Murlocs rule.
Mm-hmm. Murlocs are definitely one of the rulers, that is to be sure. I've run against my fair share that I have cussed at vehemently.
Oh yeah.
Quick question, how far have you gotten? I mean, we talk mostly about casual play and such like that, but I have to ask, when you have dared to climb the ladder, how far did you dare climb?
Most recently I reached rank 8, which is good for me considering. Even though I've been playing since 2015, I didn't start getting serious about the game until about a year ago. Mm-hmm. I started watching my friends stream Hearthstone, and then I got into the community of arena streamers. And it's a great community, by the way. But also just learning how to play the game from a like that perspective, it teaches you everything. You see all the cards, you see all the different ways of building a deck as opposed to just getting, you know, the deck given to you from, you know, HS Replay or something like that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, this is probably, I was just going to say, this is probably a great time for you then, Monica, because, you know, I mean, if you started taking it much more seriously as of a year ago, now I'm guessing your collection over the course of like Witchwood through Rosticons is probably a little bit better. And now, I mean, with the rotation happening, that's it plus Rise of Shadows, right? So, I mean, are you super excited to be in post-rotation and keeping that ball rolling?
Oh, I'm very excited. I mean, even though I wasn't seriously playing, I mean,
well, sure.
my
more.
Casual,
yeah. mm-hmm.
my casual play was playing it, you know, at least a few games every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I built up a good collection and a large amount of like dust and gold at some point. And I was able to make a hunter deck this past year, which is what I'd been climbing the ranks with, like different variations of the Subject Nine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Master's mm-hmm. Call hunter. So that's been fun.
And I know that you experimented with a different type of hunter deck too.
You mean recently?
Yeah.
Oh God. That Geppetto hunter.
Yes.
Geppetto.
That was probably the second deck I played. I love it. I can't wait to talk about that one. Anyway.
I feel like it's the second deck that almost everyone played on day totally. One. It's like word got out about Geppetto on Twitter and Reddit and stuff like that. And everyone had to craft Geppetto and try this out and see. Just try to understand if the Geppetto Malygos Hunter deck dream was real.
Yes. I was watching a streamer and he had the deck posted somewhere. And I was like, oh, I have to get that deck. And later on, I was streaming and one of my friends tweeted it out. Can't remember which friend that was. But, so I got that deck. It was actually a different deck from the one the streamer was using, just slightly different. So I've actually tried two different Geppetto hunters, and that RNG is a harsh, harsh mistress.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you get that to go in the right order, when you get your cards to draw the right way, it's beautiful magic. But when you don't, it's like, I guess I should just concede now.
Yeah, kind of. I've never had a deck where I felt worse about drawing Alexstrasza. <flat out. laughs> But yeah, we'll get to all that.
Alexstrasza, what happens if you draw
Malygos?
You can kind of pull Malygos off
Malygos. Is the worst.
No. I think because you get the one mana Alex, and then maybe you like, I don't know, you can make it work a little bit. But yeah.
For those that, if you haven't been following along and you're wondering just what's the basic concept of the deck, Geppetto Joy Buzz is an 8-mana 6/6. It has a battle cry that lets you draw two minions from your deck, and then they are changed into 1/1 versions of themselves that cost 1 mana. So they basically become toy versions, if you remember, like the miniature Warfare Brawl.
Right, which... Again, that's another Tavern Brawl kind of brought into Standard in a way. I mean, in a different way, but that's how I took it. But as you were saying, sorry.
Yeah. So basically what a lot of people are doing is they are only running 2 or 3 minions in their deck besides Geppetto. And one of them is always Malygos. And the other two that you see is Alexstrasza. And some run Valyra. Because Valyra
Varisa.
For 1 mana lets you equip
Varisa.
Yeah, or Varisa, yeah, not yeah. Valyra. Varisa Windrunner. It's Valyra Sanguinar, Varisa Windrunner. Varisa lets you equip Thordahl, that legendary bow, which after you attack with it, you have spell damage plus two until end of turn. So basically, play Malygos, play Varisa, play Alexstrasza, play some combination of the of two of those three, and shoot things at the face at your opponent where that 1 mana twin spell
rapid fire, I think.
Rapid fire deals 1 damage. Well, with Malygos, it's 6 damage for 1 mana. I'd say that's pretty efficient, and you get to cast it twice.
When it worked perfectly was I got Geppetto and I got Varisa in my hands. I was able to play Geppetto and I got Alexstrasza and Malygos.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I played Varisa and I had the weapon. And then the next turn, I played Alexstrasza. I put their health down to 15. I played Malygos. and I had the two twin spells in hand. Just for whatever reason, it just all worked out perfectly.
And then you swing with the weapon just too, like, a bit.
Wow.
Yeah. it's one of many, many sick decks that we are definitely going to be talking about. Without any further ado, folks, let's hop right into a usual staple on this show, the Brawl Breakdown.
Brawl!
All right, this week's Tavern Brawl is a new one and an old one. It is Noble Garden for Hearthstone, so we have a Noble Garden-themed Tavern Brawl. However, this year around, it's not Noble Garden, it's Ignoble Garden, because Dr. Boom has come to play, and he's brought some robots with him, Kevin.
That he has, and actually, I feel really bad. I totally blanked on what the word ignoble was. Just blocked it out of my vocabulary somewhere. So I had to Google it. And the answer, by the way, is not honorable in character or purpose. And that checks out with Dr. Boom, I think. So, maybe I just tipped my hand as to my kind of redneck vocabulary. But that's beside the point. So it's, again, back to the whole theme about the eggs and bunnies. But it really only kind of starts off with that. There's some eggs on the board when you kick off, and then they just hatch into boombots, essentially. But that's not really the main thing, I would say. The main thing is, of course, about the three different bots that are being run here. So we've got the Bloombot, the Roombot, and the Doombot. And yes, the chuckle on Roombot, definitely a Roomba thing. I don't know how, but right?
I feel like a Roombot should have done something like been a board clear, like suck up all the other minions in the in play or something.
Yeah, or something. And slowly, like it starts on one side of the board and then it just like goes right over left to right. Yeah.
Yeah, but then it gets into a corner and gets stuck and keeps banging up against the wall.
Just never goes anywhere. The whole time the Roomba company is tracking the layout of your house. Anyway, I just heard this week that might be a thing. Anyway, not to scare anybody. What were we talking about? The Bloombot. I do want to call out this one of the three for me, personal favorite. This one has a death rattle. Summon a legendary minion, give it rush. So this brawl is also pulling from the wild pool as well. So it can be pretty much anything. And I had a game today where my opponent and I were both playing with Bloombots actually fairly frequently. We just happened to draw them. And I felt kind of bad. I got all the good legendaries and he didn't. But that's okay. I won. So, you know, that's good. Anyway, so that one's really cool. We've got the Roombot, as mentioned. This one's magnetic taunt. It has a death rattle. Summon 3/1/1 Boombots. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that for sure. And then lastly, Doombot. Battle cry and death rattle. Deal 5 damage to all minions. So, and that one, like, kind of took me by surprise in my first game anyway, just because, like, I don't know, I am still in a phase where I don't always watch all the animations right off the bat. I was kind of multitasking it with something, right? So I looked down and I saw that the board was empty and I saw this thing was there and I read it and I didn't read the battle cry for some reason. I just saw death rattle deal 5 damage to all minions. I was like, well, how is everything clear? No, it's both. It's battle and rattle on that guy, so... it's a fun one. I mean, it's got, it's a randomly selected set of cards. Otherwise, it's not one that you build your deck around so that it fits these in. But,
it's Crossroads plus bots, basically.
Right. And in that sense, way more fun than regular Crossroads, for sure.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would also say that it's a relatively random kind of brawl. There's definitely a few classes that take advantage of this brawl, and that would be the classes that have a high chance of having other mechs in them to have like synergies with the Roombot for magnetic. So you're talking primarily your Hunter, Warrior, and Paladin classes taking advantage of Boomsday cards. But again, this is a wild brawl, and there were mechs in all the classes, so there may be mechs in the other classes as well.
Yeah. But I see in the notes here that you've had some luck with Hunter. Is that right?
In the notes I put down 6-0. I'm now 6-1.
Even so,
how dare you?
Yeah, the very last Tavern Brawl I played, I lost to a Bloombot, which got Deathwing on the board.
Oh gosh,
that was fun times.
Yep. That's kind of what I was hinting at. Mine wasn't that crazy, but yeah, that one can bring you a little RNG, but it's okay. I mean, it's a brawl.
You want to
know
which one I got?
What'd you get?
I can't remember the name of this one, but it's the 1-1 stealth that adds like another 1-1.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the turn. Moros, yeah.
Ugh. What a sad, sad legendary.
Now that's like the butler for Karazhan. He was probably looking for his Roombot.
That's it, yeah. And Karazhan's just too big. There's a lot of carpets there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, he needs some help. He needs some Roombots. otherwise, this is a pretty decent, fun... I don't mind random tavern brawls, like where there's random cards and stuff like that, when there's somewhat of a controlled aspect to it, or when there's something that's like there's a stationary rule to them. So stuff like Randomonium just irritates the heck out of me, but that's fun for some people. For me, it's not. But I don't mind something that's like half random, half not. Okay with that kind of stuff.
Random but themed in some way like this.
Yes.
And with cards that we can't usually play with. Yeah, that's true. I'm with you on that one. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's pretty much it. If you get your win on Ignoble Garden, you will get a classic pack. But do make sure that you are logging into Hearthstone at least at some point during the next few days for Noble Garden, because you will get 2 golden Meccano eggs and 2 packs of the Boomsday Project just for logging in. There's no reason why you should not pass up free packs, Kevin.
Yeah, because I legit got a legendary in one of them.
Really?
I got the Boom Ship.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Which is actually seeing some play, too.
Is it? I haven't really been following. Okay. I could see it in some of these controlly warriors.
Warrior. Big warrior is using the Boom Ship.
All right. I may have to look into that one now. Cool.
Yeah. Monica, did you get anything impressive in your Noble Garden goodies?
Oh, did I open it yet?
You can open it now. That's fine.
Wait, I might have opened it already.
Well, okay. Here's another question. Are you keeping the golden eggs, or are you dusting them?
Oh,
this is a philosophical question.
Eggs? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's tempting either way, right? I don't know.
You know, now
I'm kind of torn on it myself, is why I ask.
Because see, here's the issue. You know, I wasn't mass disenchanting anything because, you know, somebody told me never to do that, so I didn't.
Who would do that?
Or an arena player.
So, I'm trying that this time too. That's why
they don't see. That's the thing. They don't really need the dust from their extra cards.
No, yeah.
So he didn't. You know, he was just like, keep it. So I didn't, and then when the expansion, you know, gave me all that dust, I crafted a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah, so, I went nuts, too.
Yeah.
I grew to regret it, kind of, but I don't know. I feel like my crafts were things that are going to be good if they're not already. You know, like Geppetto we were just talking about, right? So,
you know, the odd thing is I got so much dust, and I got enough dust from just duplicates from opening packs. Mm-hmm. That I'm kind of at a point where there aren't that many cards left that I need to build the decks I want to play in Year of the Dragon. I mean, I don't see myself opening any more packs outside of stuff I win from Arena and stuff that's giveaways.
I feel the same way, and it's also kind of fun because, like, I'll see a new deck come up, a list somewhere, HS replay or somewhere, and it's really satisfying to be able to just honestly copy the code over, enter it in, you see all 30 cards fill in, and you're just like, all right. I mean, that, I think that's an awesome feeling. And yeah, I do think that the big round of Hall of Fames this time around, including like Genin Baku's legendaries, was a huge help for everybody, and it just feels good. So I hope they keep this kind of theme going in rolling years like this.
How much dust did you get?
Like 7,600 or something.
Jeezy,
I had a golden Baku though, so.
Holy crap.
I had golden Baku and golden Gen crafted. Oh,
okay. What'd you get?
So I got close to 10,000 dust.
Whoa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ballers. I only got like 5,000.
That's still solid though. Yeah.
I mean, that's 3 legendaries and change.
So. Oh, yeah, nice. It was Alexstrasza, Malagos, and
oh, nice, yeah.
Something else I can't remember
because
I've always wanted
those
them.
Are those are great crafts. I mean, the Malygos, here's the thing about crafting Malygos, and if you're a casual player and if you have not crafted Malygos yet, I implore you to craft Malygos, and here's why. Because one of these days, one of these years, the Hearthstone development team is going to finally decide that Malygos needs to go to the Hall of Fame.
It's going
to
be next year.
And you will get your 1600 dust back.
Yes, you will. And until then, you're going to play stuff like Geppetto Hunter, and
But, yes.
Dude, it's got to be next year, right? I don't know.
You know, it could be next year. It could be never. Either way, it's going to be either be a strong card for the rest of its life in Standard, or it's going to be 1600 dust eventually. There's no reason not to craft Malygos if you haven't already.
Win. It's Year of the Dragon, so celebrate them.
Yeah, that's right. You kicked off Year of the Dragon by crafting two dragons. I respect that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know that the cards don't have to match the theme. Just like, yes, Year of the Raven, we had a Raven Caller.
Yep,
and that was it.
We even have a new Raven since then.
Now,
yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. When you hear Year of the Dragon and when you hear that this is going to have a story which arches across all three sets, and then you only see that Paladin has a couple of dragons in the first set, kind of makes you scratch your head. Now, that being said, I think based on the teaser art for the third set, I feel like we're going to get our big dump of dragons in that final set of the year. But it just feels awkward to have only a couple dragons right now, and for them to be Paladin of all places.
Yeah. I mean, the last set's either going to be dragons or pirates, obviously. So,
Or both pirates on dragons.
I'm all for it. Why not? I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as somebody who was at BlizzCon 2017, that was Year of the Dragon. So, yeah.
It really was. Monica. We got two free packs in Noble Garden. Do you like free packs in general?
I mean, I'd be a fool to say no, Brian.
Kevin, do you like free packs?
I mean, I like them. I technically like paid packs more only because you can get more of them, you know, in one chunk. But no, the bank account doesn't like it. So you're right. Well, if I was given a choice between the two, I would choose free. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, not only did we get the two free packs from Noble Garden, if you guys were logging in and doing your legendary quest when Rise of Shadows launched, we had 12 free packs tossed at us over the course of 5 days. And there's more free packs coming. In fact, they're coming sooner than you might think, because right now the HCT Championship is on its way. You have until April 24th to choose who you think is going to be the HCT champion. This is something similar that they've done with previous championship events for Hearthstone. We will include a link to it in the show notes in case you missed it out, or you go to play Hearthstone, click on esports. You should be able to find it easily there too. Choose your champion. If the person you choose goes all the way, you will get up to 4 packs. You get at least 1 free pack just for participating in this, even if the person you pick gets eliminated early on. So there's no reason not to do this.
That's right. So I know we're not really a Hearthstone esports show, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but I mean, it is the World Championships, and it really is the last HCT championship of its kind. So, like, I think this one's a huge deal. It's going to be super fun because, like, we're playing with the old method of, you know, conquest, best of whatevers, and all that stuff as in the old system, but with Rise of Shadows cards. So, I mean, you can't watch better Hearthstone than this. It's going to be the best players in the world who have fought all year long and beyond that to get there. And then playing with the new cards, I'm going to try to, like, literally catch every second of this when it comes up. So the question I had for you guys is, if you're voting in this, who are you liking? If you've been following. And even if you've not been following, whose face are you liking?
Monica, have you chosen yet?
Yes, I did. I chose Tyler.
That's a good call. Yeah, that's solid.
I watch him stream.
I know very little about Tyler.
Watch him stream. I used to watch his sister.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very cool. Very cool.
I went with Language Hacker.
Oh, that's a fair bet, too. I'm actually still kind of torn. I haven't fully selected yet. I mean, I feel like Hunter Ace is a fair bet.
Mm.
But I might go with Hunter Ace. I'm not sure. Or honestly, Bunny Hopper. There's another one.
Yeah.
So
I feel like Bunny Hopper is definitely a popular favorite. I've seen a lot of people.
If he doesn't win at all, I would think he's a fair bet at like three packs probably, right? So
sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right. Well, also, in addition to just the free packs from choosing your champion for this, if you decide to watch the HCT on Twitch and you spend at least 4 hours watching coverage of the HCT, you will also get a pack of Rise of Shadows as long as you have your Battle.net account linked up to Twitch. And they are also doing Twitch drops, which is basically as long as you are logged in on a Battle.net linked Twitch account while you're watching HCT at certain times, they will just be awarding random packs they'll be awarding packs to random people in the stream. So a lot of great ways to just get more and more free packs. And it does. I remember, Monica, that they were talking about a few months back about they're going to try to provide more opportunities to get more free stuff into players' hands and to try to increase more of the incentive to play the game. I feel like they're going the right direction. I don't feel like they're quite there yet with what people want. Not that everyone's ever going to be satisfied, but it just as a casual-ish player, have you been happy with the giveaways and the promotions and the special events that we've seen so far this year?
Well, I haven't, I'm sorry.
You can be honest. It's okay. If you're not, just be like, hey, no, give me more stuff. I get it. I do.
Well, I mean, it's always nice to get more stuff. I just, you know, haven't noticed now that I think about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fair perspective. I mean, I've noticed it that they're trying.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're quite where they need to get people really to get the people that have drifted away from the game coming back. I would say that there are other free to play card games out there. Eternal being one of them, which really does a good job at making sure that people have enough free cards to play with that they don't feel like they're necessarily going to be behind on the game. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Rise of Shadows quest line when it launched was a step up. I mean, we had
that was strong.
That was pretty strong. In the end, though, I mean, even with it being so much stronger than what we've seen in the past in that space, still doesn't feel that strong, you know. Like I got some decent stuff out of those packs too, and I felt grateful. But like, I don't know. I've got mixed feelings on it as well. I think they can do a little more.
The changes that they made with the you know, things going to the Hall of Fame, it's made it. I mean, we're getting all this dust now, right?
Right.
So that makes it easier to play the game, and the added ranks for the new players. So that's good for the new people coming in. So
that's
I mean, that's going to draw people in because I know how it actually felt crappy to play against those people when, you know, there I am. I just happen to be at rank 20 or whatever. And they, you know, what are they throwing down? Like a crocolisk or whatever.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. It's you know what? I've got to say, when I just kind of spamming casual just to complete quests and I end up conceding to games that I know I'm not going to win, and my matchmaking and casual get so bad that I start seeing crocolisks, and that I'm not ashamed to admit that I've done that. But once I start seeing crocolisks that are being matched up against me, I just feel bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to push back against those kinds of things from happening, and it's
they
good.
Are.
Generally.
And I think the middle set and how they try to promote that and what they do as far as like rewards in the middle of the year is going to pretty much kind of set the tone for the rest of the year. I agree with you guys that like just that heaping mountain of dust that you got from the Hall of Fame at the rotation softened the blow there.
Yeah, for sure.
And it just makes right now the game feels like it's pretty accessible. And I don't know, they won't necessarily be able to repeat that when the second set launches because people won't have that mountain of dust to craft the legendaries that they want to craft at the beginning. So I think for now, for the next few months, I think we're okay.
Right.
But when that second set launches, that will be a time to kind of take a look at things.
That's a solid point. And to that end, that's a good point for people to like start saving up their gold now for that set.
Sure. I agree.
You know, if you've got a few more legendaries you might want from this set, just arena some maybe, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on and just talk about what we normally talk about at the beginning of the show as far as what we've been playing. And Monica, you've already mentioned Geppetto Hunter, but you being the guest here, why don't you talk about just what kind of decks have you been playing and what are they all about?
Well, aside from the Geppetto deck, which I've named Geppetto Me Lucky because I have to be lucky as heck to win games sometimes. Another one that seemed interested was the Mech Paladin. But
okay, yeah, I'm a fan of that as well.
I've heard people playing Mech Paladin. I have not played Mech Paladin yet or even seen this list. So what's it? Aside from it, yes, okay, it's a Paladin running mech cards. I get that. But what is it about Rise of Shadows that is making this deck better?
See, that's the part that I don't know because I'm playing a cheap version of it, which, you know, I call a bird Mech Paladin because, you know, cheap, cheap.
That's
I cannot
good.
Afford okay. all of the legendaries.
Well, the thing is, when I saw Bird Mech Paladin, I'm like, what birds is this deck?
I basically have
Bird Mech Paladin.
Commander Risa, and that's like, that's the only legendary I have. I spent so much on Alexstrasza and Malygos, and there was another one that I crafted, I can't remember right now, but. Mm-hmm. You know, and I still want to make a mage deck because I love mages and, you know, I just figured I'd try it out and see if I can make it work without the legendaries. But, well, without.
Has been working pretty well. I would imagine you still get a lot of the same, like, do you have Ziliax, for instance?
No, I don't think it's competitive at all, but it was fun for a little bit.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, Paladin mechs is. It's not terrible, and against certain matchups, it can hold its own. One of the things about just this environment is that it is, you know, the first couple of days, I saw a lot of two classes, Warrior and Rogue. Mm-hmm. And now it's been several days later, and at least in the majority of the games I'm seeing a very aggro meta, a very aggressive meta, Token Druid being the big thing, but one of the other aggro decks is one of the other ones. It says here that you've been playing Murloc Shaman. How's that been going?
Oh, Murloc Shaman? Okay, let me give you a little bit of history.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always heard about Murlocs. Played Heroes of the Storm. Murky's adorable. I was playing World of Warcraft. This little game no one's ever heard of. But,
Nope.
And in the game, I was like walking down a beach or whatever, and I'm just sitting here, and all of a sudden, like, I start like losing health, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I look, and there's just like a Murloc with like a spear, and he's like throwing spears at me. I'm like, what the hell is this dude? So I found like a whole village of Murlocs, and they were building like some, I don't know, some house at the beach. It was the weirdest thing ever. But since then, I have loved Murlocs. So when I played Hearthstone, I got into Murloc Paladin back in the day. You know how that killed.
Oh, I love that deck.
Yes. When Morgul, the Oracle, became a hero, of course, I had to always play him. But
oh, yeah.
I don't play a lot of shamans, so the Shaman Murloc deck never really worked as well as the Paladin did. So when I heard that this was a thing, I had to try it. So I did end up having to craft Scargill and... this deck is amazing. I have some of the best and funnest games, but also some of the longest games I have ever had in my life. Like today I was playing a game on my lunch break that took so long. I'm pretty sure I got fired. I don't know if I can go back to work now. Seriously.
Like you went back to your desk and all of your stuff was gone. And you're like,
it was packed up in a little box with a sign on it. Yeah, it was it was so long because you can just keep creating with the Underbelly Angler. You can keep creating Murloc after Murloc after Murloc. And if you've right. got Scargill that makes them ones, cost one rather, it's just, you can build up your board and they can break it down, and you can build up your board and they can break it down, and you can build up your board. I don't know if I've said this enough times, but.
And you can, then you can break it down, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't think you've said it enough times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can break it down more than Lucio breaks it down in Overwatch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
fairly long cooldown, actually.
Mm. I did change some things out in the deck, though, because I play a lot of Arena, and one of the biggest things with Arena is AoE, and I didn't feel like there was enough, especially since this is a standard deck, and in Wild you'd have that Murloc that does the 2 damage to everything, not Murloc, and that's really cool. So maybe I should play a Wild deck. Anyway, so in this one I added Lightning Storm, and I added one Hagatha's Scheme.
Oh yeah,
which is a super crazy card, and I just have to say really quick, Hagatha's Scheme is going to be in, I think, 90% of Shaman decks for as long as it's in standard.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, honestly.
Yes. And since the deck already runs Swamp Queen Hagatha, which is the 7-mana 5/5 Battlecry, add the 5/5 horror, and teach it 2 Shaman spells, I mean, come on. Who doesn't love going to school? It'll take you a minute to figure out how to work those spells properly, though. So remember, if you're going to play it right away, so you're not like roping and going, which spells? But it could be a very great and effective card. But also to that, since I already had Hagatha the Witch, I added it to the deck as well. So I got some crazy stuff. It's another board clear. And then while this was my favorite part, because while I'm building up the board and I'm making more Murlocs and I'm playing Murlocs, once I play Hagatha the Witch, I'm getting Shaman spells. So I'm just like building up this huge amount of cards with spells and Murlocs. And it's phenomenal.
And I would have to say, like, the MV, I feel, Monica, like the MVP of that deck, even more so than Scargill, is Underbelly Angler. I mean, the guy's 2/3 for 2 mana, so it's a Crocolisk, except it's a Murloc, which means it's a better Crocolisk.
Murlocolisk.
It benefits from all the Murloc buffs. And then, after you play a Murloc, add a random Murloc to your hand, I mean, even if you don't have Scargill out where you can just, you know, chain gun 1-mana Murlocs and get Murlocs back, the fact that most Murlocs are pretty cheap to begin with means you get more value out of this Murloc than I think any Murloc card ever really made in the game. Even more than the Murloc you get from the quest, I would say, because you don't have to play the quest to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I really wonder how that card slots into Wild. Like, that's something for you to explore there, Monica, for sure. Is like going back to a version of the old Murloc Paladin or Shaman, and then just slot in that one and just see where it goes, because it's got to be good over there.
Man, I don't have that card.
You'd still have, like, yeah, fair enough.
Too rich for my blood. But, yeah, I definitely do want to try, like, just some of the other Murlocs that were, because we lost Rockpool Hunter, which is a good 2/3 that buffs up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that one would have been great to buff up the Underbelly Angler to keep it from dying, possibly. Although we do have Coldite Seer, so, I mean, that helps. But, you know, you always want more.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, what have you been playing along with? I know you had mentioned Bomb Warrior already and Mech Paladin. But of all the decks you've been playing, like, what has been your favorite so far?
Honestly, Mech Paladin.
Okay.
And I know it's not doing as hot as some others. And I mean, like, from a flavor standpoint and for fun, the Geppetto Hunter for sure. But I've had some pretty good luck with this Mech Paladin. And I'll say that, like, you asked earlier, you know, what is it that sets this deck apart now in the Rise of Shadows meta versus what we had before? I mean, it's definitely not as good as the old, like, Secret Paladins or obviously Odd Paladin of yesteryear. But it's got a lot of good stuff to it. And I think what it rests on, Brian, is the how it works is you start off with like just secrets. Your only one cast cards are secrets. And so you kind of have to make up for that in tempo with your two. So like you really have to mulligan for either the Sunreaver Spy, which is that one. It's normally a 2-mana 2/3. So there's your river crocolisk, murlocolisk, if you will. But if you have a secret, it gets +1/+1. So it kind of becomes like, you remember any other familiar?
Spider tank.
No. I was going to go Totem Golem, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't even overload for this guy. Right. So anyway, and then like after that, it's just honestly a lot like some of these decks that we saw kind of crop up in Boomsday, where it's, you know, a mech paladin based on getting a lot of value out of being magnetic, pulling everything back with the Kangor's Endless Army, which is that one that 7-mana spell, summon, or rather resurrect 3 friendly mechs. They keep any magnetic upgrades. And then it rounds off with Tyrion, actually, interestingly, at the top two, just Tyrion Forge Ring. But anyway, so I like the deck overall. I definitely, like when you'd said it too, Brian, that like at the beginning of the whole release and everything, it started to do really well, but it's now starting to lack to some of these more aggro decks. And I do think that's true. When I started this deck initially, I went like 10-1 or 10-2 and just gangbusters out the gate. And I was like, oh man, I'm hitting legend for sure. And then now I'm like 12-14, but that's okay. So what I really like about it though, is that these secrets, I think, work together super well. You know, you got like Auto Defense Matrix, you got a copy of that. Hidden Wisdom's really interesting. That's the one where it's a 1-mana, obviously secret. After your opponent plays 3 cards in a turn, draw 2 cards. It actually works super well because like a lot of times you have it just out on one maybe, right? And then you kind of forget it's there, but it's still triggering things like your Mysterious Blade, your Sunreaver Spy, all that kind of stuff. Because it honestly usually takes a couple turns for them to play more than 3 cards in a turn, unless it's like a rogue trying to coin or prep something out, right? So,
right. But it's definitely good right now when we're running into a lot of like aggro druid decks and stuff like that, where they're usually playing 2 or 3 spells when they're really trying to get a wide big board out there.
Yeah, that's true. And to further that, it does run 2 consecration. So, I mean, it is actually pretty good against like Zoo Warlock or the token druid and that kind of thing. It just that rogue deck can just kind of run away, unfortunately, because like you against the rogue, you build up all this stuff to, you know, like you have your Meccano Egg, preferably your golden one now, right? And you throw a war gear on it and you got Ziliax on that and you're building up this whole huge, you know, amalgamation of all these different mechs, and then they just sap it, essentially like killing some of your cards. So that's not a good feeling. I did want to call it one thing that I really do like about it though. So it kind of brings back some of the same functionalities we saw with the secret paladin of the last set, in that my favorite thing, Brian, is just to be as annoying as possible with Annoy a Module, the 4-mana 2/4 magnetic divine shield taunt. Because this thing, if you've got Auto Defense Matrix and Redemption up, so that's the one where when you attack it, they get a Divine Shield, and then, you know, when they come back, they resurrect with 1 health. You literally, I think it takes like 5 swings to get through it, because you swing once for the first Divine Shield, swing again, Auto Defense procs, and you get another Divine Shield. Then you kill it, then it comes back with a Divine Shield, and then you kill it again.
And where's the giggling inventor that summoned this monstrosity?
No, it's just by itself. that right there I just listed for you is a just simply a 6-mana combo that you can stage up throughout the game. So, So I don't know. I find that kind of play fun and slash kind of trolly. But honestly, you do get to the end some games and you build this awesome like Kangor's Endless Army. And like you can win against a lot of the Bomb Warriors it's very good against, too, because they don't have really great single-target removal unless they just get lucky with the Brawl. And as long as you don't put too many things out on the board and you're really, like, magnetizing things to each other, you know, when they're out of those shield slams, they're out. So I think it can still be really good.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it's nice to build up the eggs, too, because then they have to kill that, and then there's the, you know, the 8/8 that spawns from it. So
the eggs and the mechanical whelps. So, like, yeah, you kind of throw those out, and then if they brawl or something, then I mean, okay, cool, but you still have to fight this 8/8 now, you know? So
deal with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really quickly, since you mentioned Bomb Warrior, I want to toss this question out to the two of you.
Like a bomb?
How? You like a bomb.
All right.
And I'm tossing this out to both of you into your decks. And we'll start with Monica here. How do you feel about Bomb Warrior? Because I have to say, I tried playing Bomb Warrior, and I've played against a lot of Bomb Warriors. And I remember being so excited to play Bomb Warrior. And after about 48 hours, yeah, I'm pretty much done with Bomb Warrior in every way, shape, and form.
I'm sorry, what deck was this again?
I think he was talking about Token Druid.
Yeah, it was Token Druid, right? I know. You just said Bomb Warrior 17 times. So I had to mess with you. Yeah, it's kind of annoying as I keep trying to stop myself from swearing. As
it is tough. We all listen to the podcast known as Lagging Balls,
mm-hmm.
and it is yes. challenging to transition from that to not.
Why
being
don't
able to
we
swear.
Make but, yeah. a show where we can swear? but you know, it's so daunting because they're putting these bombs in your deck, and they're still kind of like whittling your health as well while you're, you know, going at them. And it's almost like a surprise when you die half the time because you just don't know it's coming out. I swear there have been times where I'm just sitting there like, yep, I'm dead. Kaboom.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, the weird thing is, like when you're playing Bomb Warrior 2, sometimes you don't want them to draw them because you just want the extra bombs from Blastmaster Boom. It's a weird dichotomy there.
I want them to draw them. I want them to draw them, and I want them to draw them now. I don't want them to go 7 or 8 turns without them drawing them. I don't want them to go 16 or 17 turns without drawing a single bomb. We get to turn 25. There are 4 bombs, and they're somehow at the very bottom of the deck, and somehow the RNG gods have favored that they don't get bombs thrown at them. But when I play, Kevin and Monica, when I play, when bombs are shuffled into my deck, oh, within 3 turns, I'm getting hit in the face.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is my experience with Bomb Warrior. My bombs never go off in the other player's decks, but I always seem to get hit in the face when I'm playing at times. Now, of course, my experience is different from, you know, from other people's experiences, and maybe I'm just remembering all the bad moments and none of the good moments, but that's how it felt to me. And I understand the people that are being the people that are being critical and, dare I say, whiny about Bomb Warrior's RNG, I get why they feel that way. I don't think that RNG is bad for Hearthstone. I don't have a problem with Bomb Warrior being in the game. I just have a problem with playing against it and playing it.
Yeah, fair point, fair point. I mean, you're not the only one that feels that way. So
yeah, and there are only some things you can do to combat it, right? Like, you know, you fluff up your deck a little bit more or something. Like, that's about all you can do.
And Archivist Elysiana is an option, too. Mm-hmm. Like, if Bomb Warriors and a lot of Warrior decks are going late game, I think Archivist Elysiana... although she makes games take longer, I'm going to say that even if you are a casual player and you are running into a lot of games where the games are just taking forever, I might recommend that Archivist Elysiana is something that you want to craft, because one of the best ways to fight a control deck with Archivist Elysiana is when in Rome, do as the Romans do and use Elysiana yourself.
That said, so she is one of the cards I featured earlier, like when we were doing card reviews. And I will say, yes, definite. If you're wanting to play any slower deck at all, you definitely want to craft her at some point. It was a day one craft for me. I'm still excited about her, but I hate her. I'm going to say that right now. And here's why. Because like when you're in that matchup, when you are, say, a Bomb Warrior versus a Bomb Warrior or some other slow deck, and you both, I mean, you know they've got Elysiana and you have it as well, the game can legitimately be decided by just who gets the better set of cards off of her, and that can feel real bad, because I mean when you get those 5 pulls, and it is cool. Again, reminder for folks, this is the 8-mana 7/7 Battlecry: discover 5 cards, replace your deck with 2 copies of each. If you do that late enough in the game, or even when you're totally out of cards, Then you can kind of refill your deck and just get that many more turns. But when you get those, it's really like, it's like old school Arena before they had buckets. And the, you're not really given cards of any sort of particular value or, you know, strength. And so sometimes you, if you even get one of those five that's just utter trash and totally useless, then, and you just draw those two first or in like some of the early sets, you could fall so far behind that it's just pretty much over. So I think she's a problem, and I think she's going to need some kind of nerf or something. I don't know what. I kind of hate her.
I just like how he started with, it's a great card.
Day one craft, you need to craft, I totally hate
it. Day one, I crafted it. You need to craft it. It's the worst card ever. I hate it. I she could, dies.
That was 100% by design. I promise. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'd agree with that opinion. It's like, yeah, she's a great legendary. She's also a very annoying legendary. Another great legendary, which is a great legendary, but also a very annoying legendary, is Archmage Vargoth, which...
Oh, yes. Ooh,
by the way, everyone has.
That's right.
So you're seeing it everywhere, even decks where it probably shouldn't even be appearing.
But it's no Marin the Fox. It is legit good.
Yeah.
It is kind of super good. So, mm-hmm.
Are you running Vargoth in any of your decks, Monica?
No.
No?
No.
Well, I guess Geppetto Hunter, it wouldn't be a good choice there because it could go on the wrong things. Paladin, your buffs could go on the wrong stuff. And Murloc Shaman, your zappy spells could hit the wrong things. So, okay, I get it.
He was best before the rotation in things like Wall Priest and the, you know. But no, he's got a place for sure. Just because, like, even just a 2/6 on 4... I mean, that he paints such a big target on his back, and 6 health is so much to have on turn 4 that it's like, you know, you can start to really shift the game around then, you know?
I'm thinking...
Yeah, Token Druid's using him really well.
Once I'm able to craft my mage deck, maybe I'll put him in my mage deck.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mage can definitely take advantage of it also. Vargoth's appearing in some interesting spaces. I'm running Vargoth in one of my decks. But before we get to any of my stuff, did you want to talk about any of the other decks that you were playing, Kevin?
Maybe just briefly. I mean, the other ones I'm trying are pretty like standard from what you see in standard. I had a stint on Token Druid for sure. I do find that actually on these next two, I want to talk about Token Druid and Tempo Rogue. There's a lot of different lists out there, and it's been shifting a lot over time, too. Like, I don't think anyone's really hammered out, okay, what is, like, the most optimal version of these? It's getting better and better with time, for sure. But, I like both of those decks because I always like, and I've said before, I like decks where I'm asking the question and, like, setting the tempo or, you know, building the big board with Token Druid and making them have to answer me. Token Druid in particular really does that, man. It's got, like... You know, I mean, you guys have played against it or with it, I'm sure. If you've got even just one set of what's it called again? I'm blanking. The Whispering Woods. Even just that on 4. And then they're looking at you and they're like, okay, well, there's 7/1s on the board. What if you Savage Roar me next turn? You know, like you can on turn 5, you're really making them think, okay, I'm, and I've played games too where like, I just have a pretty basic board out. Maybe I don't even have Savage Roar in hand, but I'm watching people trade 8/8s into my 1/1s just because they're that afraid of me. Like, just
they can't take the
off.
Risk,
and they can't. It's probably the right move. So, yeah, it's actually really fun. The Tempo Rogue, I do think is going to be like our first kind of problematic deck. I didn't really even think so until it started really taking off in the last few days. But man, it's just Waggle Pick is like
Waggle Pick
because here's how it is. I mean. Especially if you go with one of the Tempo Rogues that's more aggressive. I know they actually, I think Dills highlighted this on Angry Chicken this week too, but I totally agree. Because you get them down low enough to where, I mean, the end of the game can literally be that you have Waggle Pick out, you put Leroy down. If it's turn 8, you can get that second swing with Waggle Pick, charge Leroy in. Well, okay, wrong order of operations. Charge the Leroy, then swing. Okay, yeah, don't listen to that first part. then you get him back, and you get to put him back out again. And that is, you know, that's 18 damage in a turn. So on turn 8, when you've probably brought them lower than that anyway to begin with. So I don't know. I see that one being kind of a problem. I think people are already teching against it. That is choosing cards to counter it. We're seeing a lot more like acidic swamp ooze and that kind of thing. So just because you can really mess up the waggle pick by throwing out an ooze or Harrison Jones or something just to stop them from getting that bounce that they want, you know? So anyway, that's really all I have to say about those, but it's we kind of talked about this at the beginning of the show. I'm really enjoying playing, but it is kind of a weird meta. I'm having a lot of trouble like truly navigating what I want to like hunker down on or play around with. I'm kind of waffling a lot, so, but having fun doing it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I will quickly say that I've tried several different flavors of Rogue, and the version of Rogue that I have settled on is something which I call Swiss Army Rogue, because it's all about lackeys and more lackeys.
Oh, yeah.
And having fun with Spirit of the Shark and creating absurd numbers of lackeys and just annoying the heck out of people. The build I use doesn't win anywhere close to 50%, but it's fun and entertaining, so that's really the main thing that's important to me. I think I may be tweaking and tuning this deck and talking more about it on a later episode, but I've got to say Rogue is not disappointing as far as like my enjoyment of the game with Rise of Shadows. What is surprising me, and kind of jumping ahead to a question that I was going to bring up later, but I really have to say this is a genuine surprise to me, is the first legendaries that I opened up from Rise of Shadows was Lucent Bark and Keeper Stellaris, both of the Druid legendaries. And prior to the expansion launching, I was not interested in Druid whatsoever. I had no desire to play any form of Druid.
You generally don't, right?
No.
Yeah.
I'm typically not a Druid player. But then I saw people trying to attempt the Lucent Bark Heal Druid Dream, and I couldn't help but like, well, I've got this stupid thing already. It's not like I have to craft it. We might as well try it and see what happens. And in those first few days, it was doing work, and I was having a lot of fun. And then it was getting out aggroed by a token druid. And so I figured, well, I have most of the cards that run these token druids I'm going against. So I shifted from running the heal druid to the token druid, or a variant of token druid that everyone's playing. And I feel dirty for playing the most popular deck and having fun with it and winning, because that's not usually my style, Kevin. My style is usually to play something different, something wacky, something that everyone else isn't playing, and try to do my best and have fun with it. So after I was done feeling dirty playing Token Druid, I decided, okay, I'm going to try to play something that counters Token Druid somehow. And that's when I got the Paladin. And I had a dream, Kevin and Monica. I had a dream that I was in a faraway land across the Pacific Ocean, and I was listening to anime music in the background. And I feel like you can hear the anime music in the background right now if you're listening to this show. And it's talking about a card that was speaking into my mind. And that card was Lightforged Blessing.
I love the setup.
So Lightforged Blessing, when it was revealed, had this like anime intro song for it, because the YouTube content creator in Japan got to reveal it, and they made it like this anime intro song, and it was freaking amazing. I thought it was one of the best reveals of the set. And they were talking about what you can do with Lightforged Blessing, which, by the way, is a 2-mana twin spell, give a minion lifesteal, which seems like a pretty okay utility card, but how do you abuse that lifesteal? Well, if you put that lifesteal on a wild pyromancer, things get kind of interesting. Oh, when yeah. He does one damage to the entire board,
and then you heal after casting from it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
Yeah, if you put like Lightforged Blessing on the wild pyromancer and then sound the bells multiple times.
Oh, and then
that gets pretty fun. Clear.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Because you'd be clearing the like forest tree ends that come out and stuff. Okay, all right, keep going, keep going. You're selling me on this.
I'm tingling a little bit.
I am too.
Another thing, the ram head, the batter ram head, I'm getting the name of it. The eight mana guy, 312 yeah, yeah. rush. If he kills something, he can attack again. Lightforge Blessing on that is practically an AoE board clear that's gaining you 3 life for every time he's hitting. You play with the 2 mana legendary from Boomstay, which doubles your healing.
Yeah,
and you slap a life and you slap down a lifesteal on one of the things I've mentioned. But the MVP, and it's not in the current deck code I'm using because I wanted to turn down my mana curve a bit lower, so I'm not running these right now. But another interesting thing to put Lightforge Blessing on is Tunnel Blaster, which is new in Rise of Shadows, 3/7 taunt for, like, I want to say 7 mana. I might be wrong on that. And it has Death Rattle, deal 3 damage to all other minions. Deal 3 damage to all minions. If you put a Lightforge Blessing on that with Lifesteal, that means you are going to heal. If there's like 5 or 6 things on the board, you're healing for 15 plus life when it dies.
Oh, wow. So you just clear their zoo board.
Heal you clear their board up. And you heal up to full. And then, so of course, you run some card draw on this. I was playing Hidden Wisdom, which, because that's, for lack of having Divine Favor, Hidden Wisdom gets the job done, especially against kind of an aggro matchup. Mm-hmm. Doesn't do well against control, though, obviously, because control isn't playing multiple things in a turn. Also running just the 2 mana spell where you gain 4 life, draw a card. Oh, yeah. I was running Shervala in it because this was a spell heavy kind of paladin deck to begin with. I ran 2 copies of a new challenger to support that. It's a spell heavy-ish control paladin deck, which has thrown in a couple Lightforge Blessings to just kind of fight against the tide. And sometimes aggro outraces you, but it goes as long as the aggro deck draws poorly, you win.
Because yeah,
if the aggro deck gets its nut perfect draw, then yeah, it's probably going to outrace you. But almost any kind of draw you can have will survive as long as the token druid doesn't get a great draw.
So what do you finish them out with? Like, what's your killing blow at the end?
Shervala. Mm-hmm. Shervala's one, the 4 mana that 4 mana 4/4 that becomes bigger. That's another thing. Yeah. It becomes 7/7 after you healed for 10 mana. Also, I have Archivist Elysiana in it because some games can go through the whole deck and you draw through your deck pretty quickly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And
as much as I hate her, that makes sense.
Yep. And what was the other thing that was finishing people off? I'm trying to remember all the win conditions in this deck.
Zandalari.
I know I'm missing something.
I would think you could go a few routes. I mean, this sounds like it doesn't fit the theme, but you could almost just throw Tyrion in, maybe.
You probably could. I could see Tyrion working in it. Oh, that's what I was forgetting. The 2 mana, 1/3 guys, Immortal Prelates.
Oh, yeah.
So I was
yeah.
playing called it. I have 2 Call to Adventures in there. So the Call to Adventures are either pulling Wild Pyromancers to buff them before they hit the board or to buff the Immortal Prelates. If it grabs either one of them, that's fine. If it even grabs the 2 mana Kangor guy, he's a 3/4 Divine Shield Lifesteal double healing. Right. Basically, I'm running Call to Adventure in a weird way because when you think of Call to Adventure, you think of putting it in a deck where you're specifically targeting one thing. I just put the Call to Adventure in the deck, and whatever it grabs just synergizes well with the 2+2+2 buff anyhow.
Yeah, dude, I think you're on something with this one. This one and the stuff you were doing with the, what was it again, the Loosened Bark Druid, also a really good one.
Yeah, Loosened Bark can have really bad opening draws, and it's just a little too slow.
But the game you and I had, legendary.
The game you and I had was great.
Because it was Bomb Warrior versus that, and we took it to the end, for sure.
Yep, the game Monica and I had was not great because she wiped the floor with me.
Well.
Well, what are you going to do?
Don't know.
So I'll include a deck code for my Lightforge Paladin deck, at least. It's a work in progress. I've taken the Tunnel Blasters out, but I'll include a deck code for that in there.
Is that the one you have linked? I definitely want to try it. Cool.
Yep. Monica, it just it, outside of the stuff that you've been playing, have there been any other cards that have kind of like jumped out to you from Rise of Shadows? It's like, this has been a really fun card to play with. I mean, obviously, all the Murloc stuff is you're having a whole lot of fun with, but have there any other cards that have been you go like, wow, I didn't realize how good this card was?
I'm having a lot of fun with the twin spell stuff. I know it's like kind of simple, but just it's like a better, well, I guess Echo, you could have done it, you know, a bunch of times depending on the cost of the, you know, the mana cost. But I just like the idea of having this spell that's like doubled in your hand and that you could use it that turn, you could use it another turn, except for the mage one. The mage one just, I don't know. I don't see me, you know, because it's
Conjurer's Calling?
The freezing one. Because it reminds me of, God, there's all these cards in Mage where there's one that's like, it freezes it, and then there's one that like destroys a minion, and there's the one that's, what was the name of it? Ice Lance, right? Oh, where yeah. You froze it, yeah. And then if you did it again, you did like 4 damage. Hall of Fame cards, right? Yep. So it's just like it's and the, so this one's kind of like a less good version of that, really, because it only does 2 damage.
I feel like Ray of Frost is a fairly balanced card, and I think it's a good utility card for like I think it's a good utility card for a mage deck that's trying to race against another deck by basically freezing its stuff while it's attacking with its own things.
Yeah, I think it's a fairly cheap stalling tool for them, because the ones I've been playing against have been staggering out the 2 freezes and just using it for that. And mm-hmm. And again, remember, I have at least a few games under my belt with Mech Paladin, and so I would build a giant mechanized monstrosity to come at their face, and they would just freeze it once, freeze it again. It kind of felt like I was playing against a mini old school freeze mage in some way. So
yeah,
I think it's okay.
That's a lot of damage you're saving for only 2 mana.
So, I mean, but I get your point though. I mean, it definitely doesn't have like game ending burst or anything like Ice Lance used to, for sure. Which I think
we know I want it to all burn to the ground. So, or freeze to the ground for that matter, either way, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually opened up Lucent Bark, I think, yesterday. So Maybe I'll think about doing a druid, because I saw someone kill me with a bunch of those crystal stags. So,
oh yeah, those are good. Those are super
crystal.
Good.
A crystal stag is a strong card in the healed druid package. And I, you know what? I feel like healed druid's going to get there.
Oh yeah.
It's not there quite yet. It has a good core to it right now. I feel like I should be yelling core when
core.
I say that.
Core. Sorry.
But it has a good foundation, and it needs like 2 or 3 more cards to lock it in. And I think we'll get those cards later on in the year.
Yeah, I do too. I honestly, until we played that game, I didn't really think through how good it is with Ziliax. You know, you swing for 3 healing, you get 3 more healing on the backswing, you're good. So yeah, I like it.
So
Ziliax is just good in general. I know. I'm sorry, Ziliax.
I just told my friend who plays, you know, my work buddy who plays. I was like, dude, just grab Ziliax. It's one of the better cards ever made, I think.
You can put Ziliax in almost any deck, and it's not a bad choice.
Yeah, do you want to rush and heal for 3 and then heal for another 3 with a taunt? Yeah, I think almost everyone wants to do that. Yeah.
It's like the druid of cards.
Kind of, yeah.
It really is. It is a jack of all trades.
You know,
if druids were mechanized, which would be a sweet class for the next WoW expansion, let's make that happen. Druid.
Okay.
I will say some of the cards that I do really like are, there's one in Mage called Messenger Raven, and it's a battle cries to discover a mage minion. And I know there's another one that I think is classless. Not classless, but I think it's neutral. I made myself laugh.
It lacks class.
It's unsophisticated.
Yeah.
Why don't you call me sometime? You have no class. So which one is that one called? It's the
what's it do?
It also discovers a minion. But I can't think of the name of it. Crap. It's like a 5/3. Is it a 5/3?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anymore now.
Is this like going back in the day?
No, this is this set.
This set, okay.
It's a...
I'll look around a little bit.
I put it in my rogue deck because I... One of my favorite things to do with rogue is the Spectral Cutlass. Gonna steal all the cards from your class kind of deck.
Right.
So, oh, here it is. It's the Hench Clan Burglar. Oh, maybe that's rogue.
It is rogue.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, I love these cards. It wasn't, was it Gadgetzan that had all the discover minions and discover spells and all sorts of stuff like that? But those...
Mean Streets had a lot of
that? Was it Mean Streets?
Yeah, yeah, it did. I mean, it had the tri-class cards too, was its big thing. Yeah. But yeah,
I love those.
They are fun, and I love the new direction of burgling things. They've shifted that. I don't know if you caught that, where you know some of the burgle effects in Rogue used to just take from the opponent's class, but now it's a mixture of any of them. So like, it honestly just makes it more fun. And then for your opponent, it's harder to play around because you don't know. I mean, they could be pulling out a Lightning Storm next turn against you're a warrior, right? So. Yeah, I think that's a really fun card these days.
I'm going to make a prediction right now. There's going to be a one mana spell in one of the next two sets, which basically says discover a card from another class. It's going to be Hallucination, but reworded.
Ooh.
It's going to happen. Oh, really? So that you can start that whole train
called,
early?
It'll be called like Bag of Tricks or something.
Hmm. Maybe. So but does that. It make Vendetta too good?
Vendetta is really good. So good. Vendetta's 4 mana, deal 4 damage to a minion, but if you have a card from another class in your hand, it costs 0. That's freaking
insane. It costs 0, triggers all the combos on the turn that you would have used them. Yeah, it's just very good.
It's lovely.
It is.
But like especially because playing this deck with the rogue, if you get the mirror match against the other rogue and now you have nothing, at least you have these, you know, discover a spell from another class.
Yeah.
And that can help you a little bit at least, because then you've I put a Togwoggle scheme in there too, so somehow I can make it work even if I'm playing against. Well, I guess I can't because that's not a minion. I'll figure it out someday.
Oh, yes.
I was going in the right direction, and I went. I took a left instead of a right.
I did play against one rogue deck that I just have to bring up. I didn't get the list from him, or I haven't seen it anywhere else, but it was a guy who was really experimenting with academic espionage and in a super interesting way.
Tack Nozwhisker?
I don't even think I saw Tack, but he saved up a lot of time for, like, bringing a bunch of stuff back into his deck and all that. So I don't know. I don't really have a very well thought out like list to share with people, but there's something interesting happening in that space, and I got to try it out because that's still, I mean, do you still agree with me, Brian? Academic Espionage is probably one of the most fun cards in the game, if not the.
It's the most fun card that they have made in the last 2 years.
For sure. So got to get down on that.
And Ziliax is a lot of fun. I still think Academic Espionage is more fun than Ziliax.
Yeah.
I have to say that's one of the reasons I love your show. Just because, you know, it's not always about, you know, like what's the best deck or whatever. It's about what's the most fun. And that's how I play for the most part. Because that's what a game is supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun. And if there's, you know.
And that's why I am not playing as or against Bomb Warrior ever again.
Fair point.
I'm serious. Yeah. If I play, listen, if you want a free win against me, I know I'm like, just rabid about Bomb Warrior, but here's how you get a free win against me in Hearthstone. You queue up, you find me on the other end of your casual game, you bring Bomb Warrior, I hit concede, and we move on, and you're one win closer to 10 gold. I will auto concede against Bomb Warrior. It's done.
Man, I'm now I know what to do when we get our 80 gold challenges in.
No, because if I auto concede in an 80 gold challenge, we don't get the gold.
Yeah, good point. Right. That's a loss for both of us. The way to beat me, for the record, since we're doing this, is to get better cards off of your dang Archivist Elysiana than I did. Anyway, hate that girl.
That poor lady.
I know.
After everything
she's kind of hot though.
Whoa!
It was a fire mage. It was a fire mage joke because she's a fire mage.
Sure.
I mean, they basically put this character from Lagging Balls onto a card, so
it actually does look a lot like this, doesn't it?
Wait! I gotta look at this card now. Where?
Yeah, go! Is it? It's even.
How do you spell it with an E?
This what plays a red-headed fire mage. Archivist Elysiana is a red
and a blood elf. Yes, or no?
Yeah.
No, she's got the eyebrows. It's kind of hard to see.
How did I spell it right?
Archivist Elysiana.
No, I did spell it right. That's the funny part.
They should just start calling it Archivist.
Yeah. Oh God.
Oh my God. We just did a thing.
One of the three of us, if not all three of us, need to get on that show and just be like, listen. Okay.
Oh, she knows. I've already told her. I've told her that she has a card.
Have they covered it on the show yet? Okay.
They don't cover Hearthstone.
I mean,
as our advertisement shows.
Garrett gets a card. This gets a card.
What's next? Yeah. Well, there's
Regis Kilbin got a card. I mean,
he did.
Our day will come sometime.
What's his card?
Huh? He's on the art of one of the cards. I forget which one.
But in this set?
There's definitely card art with him on it.
Cool.
In Rise of Shadows, where he's one of the crooks.
Oh, okay. Probably
well,
checks
that says
out.
It all.
He's a bandit. What can I say?
Mm-hmm.
Really quickly. So, Archivist is frustrating Kevin. Bomb Warrior in general is frustrating me. Anything in Rise of Shadows that's frustrating you, Monica?
I never like Priest, so any Priest that I've come up against, except for one time, I had a really nice, fun time with a Priest deck where I was playing the Geppetto Hunter, and, you know, I had out my 1-1, my 1-1 Alexstrasza and my 1-1, you know, Malygos, sorry, and they were like, oh, I know what to do, and they silenced the board. And then they conceded.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what happens when you silence those 1-1s.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I was like, yep, you're gone. But other than that, like,
they got a little bigger.
These priests with the 4/7s, they put them on the board. They're like, hey, look, it's a 4/7. It's not that big of a card. But look, when it dies, it's going to heal you. No, it's not. Silence that card. it's such a tease.
Or they play the thing that when you get healed you take damage instead.
They're so mean. Priests are so mean all the time.
Priests are mean and manipulative. Evil.
Yeah.
You know, they're all pious and they support the light, but then they'll go shadow in a split second. Okay.
Yeah, if they get that card.
You just have to click the respect button. Mm. Yeah.
I mean
I don't trust them.
Honestly, priests are like sand. They're coarse and irritating and they get everywhere.
Hmm?
Yeah.
It's a Star Wars joke. Anyway.
Oh.
I will say one thing though, Monica. And it's that I think you pointed at probably my favorite way to win in Hearthstone is when you know they conceded just because they're embarrassed of what they just did. And I've done it too.
Okay.
But that is a fun way to win.
I think I shameful concede at least once a day.
That's fair. No, I've done it. Don't get me wrong.
When I make a misplay that I see is like, wow, that is the dumbest thing I've done all day. I just hit concede because I can't play any further. I'm like, hey, you know what? I just made myself lose. Here you go.
Yeah, there's moments on either side of that, but I find it fun. Even when I do it sometimes, you just kind of laugh it off and go, yeah, whatever.
All right. We're almost wrapping up here, running a little bit long, but I expected to as much right after Rise of Shadows launched. One last thing I want to touch on before we wrap up, though. Arena, have either of you had a chance to play Arena in the new meta using cards from older sets, Nexramas, Mean Streets, Whispers, and all that stuff? Hey, I've played a few Arena runs myself, but I'm wondering if either of you have had a chance to give Arena a try.
I
haven't yet. I'd like to circle back on it later, maybe. Although I hear Rogue is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Monica, have you?
I have played a bit in the arena. Yes, it is. I'm quite happy with it. Actually, it's like a kind of a breath of fresh air. Yeah. I don't know what it's like to play arena. Well, I guess you do if you play arena, but to play arena over and over again and see the same cards over and over again, it's kind of. What's the word that means? I feel like the Little Mermaid sometimes. Like, I'm looking for that word. What's the word? Fork? I don't know. Whatever. But stagnant. Yeah. That's the word. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that so loud.
Yeah.
But stagnant. It's been, you know, just the same cards over and over again. And not only is it a breath of fresh air to get some new cards rotating in, but also it's like nostalgia. Like, just, you see all these cards that, like, I even saw some of the cards that I was, like, commenting towards with the new ones. The you know, discover a spell kind of cards from, I guess,
from Mean Streets.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. You just said that too. I can't remember anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's fun. And, you know, they completely changed the buckets too. I think they actually changed them yesterday, right? So that's going to be interesting to see how they've adjusted things.
I will definitely say I played one run today, and I noticed right away that
the bucket changed.
The buckets.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was obvious. The first few arena runs I played, my first run was 7 wins. My second run was 6 wins, and my third run was 7 wins.
Damn.
I had a few of my strongest arena runs ever. I've had a couple of 12 win runs, but I don't think I've had a 3-game streak where I did 6 wins or better ever playing arena.
I don't think I have either. Yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, what did I do? I used the Lightforge tier list. Props to them.
Yes.
I realize, like many other people playing Arena, that Eccentric Scribe is really good, and it was underbucketed so hard.
That's the neutral high main, right?
Yeah. 6/4 when it dies, get put 4/1/1s onto the board. Yeah, you take every one of those when you see it put in the fifth bucket.
It's literally one stat off of being high main.
It gave,
except it splits the death rattles into 4 bodies. But yeah, it's so good.
My deck tried to give me 3 of those. I'm like, whoa, that's a lot.
You should have taken them.
I think I took 2 of them. I had to, like, you know, take something else.
That's a fair bet.
Depends on how your deck's fleshing. All 3 of my runs had at least 2 Eccentric Scribes, and there were a couple of games in each of those runs where they carried it. Eccentric Scribe was just that amazing freaking good, and it underbucketed like crazy.
It's the new worm, you know? That's how I think of it.
I think they moved it. I don't know what bucket it's in now because I haven't really looked at that info. But I didn't see any – I didn't see – it offered more than once in the last run I did, and just the picks in general seemed like they definitely felt like they had shifted.
I laughed because I saw that Zombie Chow is in the same bucket as Call of the Wild and Savannah Highmane. And I just,
yeah,
I know people like value that card so much, but it just makes me laugh. Like, it's just such a, it's Zombie Chow. Come on.
It's really good though.
Savannah Highmane.
It starts the snowball.
Come on. Savannah Highmane is like one of the best cards.
Yeah. Fair point.
It's not fun or anything, but it's definitely just a good, strong card.
I think with Zombie Chow being in the same bucket as Savannah Highmane now, just people are you're going to see Zombie Chow a lot less, because as good as Zombie Chow is for a 1 mana drop to have a 2/3 on the board early on, it only gets its value for just 2 or 3 turns, and a Highmane can just have such a bigger impact. I guess one thing I should say really quick is the thing I've noticed about Arena in this current meta is that big things matter a lot, and that freaking 9/9 rush.
Oh yeah.
Is the bane of my existence.
That thing's good. I forget the name, but
It's like something Burly Fist or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But oh my gosh, 9/9 rush is just stupid good.
Is it for 9 or 10?
It's good.
Was it for 9 mana or 10 mana? I don't remember.
It's I'm
Burly
sure it's
Shovel Fist. It's a 9 mana, 9/9 rush.
Yeah, pretty good.
The thing's bonkers amazing. It's going to kill at least 2 things, if not more. It's probably going to kill one of your biggest things on the board.
And maybe your opponent.
Face once.
You know?
It's practically an auto pick for me if I see it. I would say even having 2 of those in your deck is fine. If you see one, you should definitely take it. If you see a second one, you should probably take it too, as long as the rest of your curve's fine. But yeah, it's big things really do matter, because it just feels like the board control is such a bigger deal. There's less board clears, so fighting to keep the board with the stuff that you have on there matters. And when you have a big thing with rush, that it just causes such a huge swing for me. I've lost a lot of games just because an opponent got out the Burly Shovel Fist.
So size matters, huh?
Size matters, absolutely.
Oh, am I supposed to be here for this?
No, this is just between Brian and I.
Okay. So I respectfully keep my opinions to myself.
Fair point. Fair point.
All right. Well, we have a lot more opinions, I'm sure, and there's going to be more opinions to give in the coming weeks as Rise of Shadows continues, and it'll be interesting to see how Arena plays out over the next few weeks, because the Arena meta changing every 2 months, I think that is pretty exciting.
Oh, so. Yeah.
I think it's going to keep it fresh.
The change is going to be, it's going to be even better for the people on the Arena leaderboards. Just, it gives them more of a chance to get their 30 runs in. So that's really great. I mean, I'm not going to make it on that leaderboard, but hey, maybe someday. Hey, actually, you're doing pretty good, Ro. I mean, Brian. My God.
It's tough, isn't it?
It's so hard to keep the name.
Damn all of you.
I mean, I still go by Ro on Twitter and on pretty much all the other podcasts I do. So
you're killing me, Smalls.
Well, it's getting a little bit late here. We're recording this late night on Thursday. Some of us have been up an awful long time.
I'm making off-color jokes that I shouldn't be. And, you know, it's just, we're getting there. We're getting there.
But I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up for this week. Monica, thank you so much for being on. You've been an awesome third voice to have on here. And it's just great to hear another perspective from someone who's just having a hell of a lot of fun with the game.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Yeah, it's just good to hang out again. Appreciate having you, for sure.
So, like I mentioned at the top of the show, you do a bit of Twitch streaming, and if people go to a certain number of podcasts, they can usually see you hanging around as a moderator. How about you let folks know how they can find you, Twitter, Twitch, and otherwise?
Okay, so I stream on Twitch. You can find me at twitch.tv/wickedkitten13, and yes, I hang out in many, many chat rooms, so I guess you'll find me there. And... And you can follow me on Twitter at WickedKitten13 just to find out, you know, where I'll be guesting next.
Awesome, man. And once again, thank you very much for being on. It's been a really cool time, and I would definitely like to have you back on the show later on in the year.
For sure.
Kevin.
Real quick, she's not kidding about being in all the chat rooms. I don't think, Monica, that I'm in a Discord channel that you're not also in, for the record. It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining.
I'm mod extraordinaire for a reason.
I know.
It's true.
I've always appreciated that about you. Okay, so I am on Twitter, though, at Multizord. It's probably the main place to find me now. It is still kind of weird not plugging Lords of the Storm, but whatever.
Plug it anyway.
Yeah, you could maybe go back and listen to old episodes. I don't know. The it might be down.
Would you
by
like
now.
To hear a podcast about a classic Blizzard game?
Oh, a classic podcast.
Thank you, everyone, game. For joining us on Brian's last episode.
This is our show now. Make no mistake. Oh boy. Yep, good times. Brian, where can they find you?
If I'm still alive, they can find me on Twitter at Rowow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. I also do a couple other podcasts. One is The Rolling Restart. That is a World of Warcraft podcast. And another one is Realm Maintenance, which is a podcast covering all the other podcasts out there, covering every Blizzard game, regardless of its status.
There you go. Wait. So Diablo 1?
Oh, if there's a Diablo 1 podcast out there, I will cover it.
Yeah, you should. It's back. It's on GOG now.
It's true.
So, yeah.
All
right.
Someone
do that.
Well, folks, you can follow the show on Twitter at HearthCasual. That's simple enough. And you can also email us at HearthCasual@gmail.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, you can do it a couple ways. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever you want to call it now is great. Spotify, all those other places where you can listen to podcasts. Good reviews are always greatly appreciated. You can also support the show by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. That's the Patreon page for Realm Maintenance Productions, which does all the shows that I produce out there. Your support there is welcome as well. And with that said, after I think our longest show ever in the history of Hearth Casual, and I'm okay with
You're
it,
welcome.
I think we will call the wrap. Monica, once again, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Kevin, I will talk to you in a couple weeks. I'm between now and the next time that Kevin and I talk, I'm going to be going on vacation in Arizona. So folks, if there is a really cool tavern brawl next week, I apologize. I will not be covering it on the Brawl Breakdown because I will be elsewhere. Well, until next time, for Kevin, for Monica, this is Brian trying to come up with a line to say at the end of the show, but completely failing. So I'll just say, see you next time.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.